it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, as always, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing very good. Week goes fast here. Thursday already, but some exciting stuff to hit on the card today. A two-hour action-packed show, and my goodness, the Atlanta Hawks are for real. They showed it last night, a team with a lot of heart. That got me fired up for today's show, Kevin. I'm ready to show as much heart and have 48-point effort for myself today on the show, Kevin. I'm ready.
Again, they're unbelievable. Let's start there. It's our 7-7 top headlines. There's only one place to begin, and that is Trae Young leading the Atlanta Hawks to a Game 1 victory in the Eastern Conference Finals. Only goes out there and puts up 48 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds as the Hawks once again take Game 1 in opponent territory.
It's fantastic stuff, and you start right with the head coach, Nate McMillan. Unbelievable performance by him, because doing the show last night on In Play Sports Tonight, Kevin, we're talking about, boy, you know what? They're hanging around, the Atlanta Hawks. Only down a couple here, only down a few at the half, and then at the end of the game, it's like, look, it was a really nice run. Looks like Milwaukee's going to pull away with a 13-2 run, and here come the Hawks again with their leader, Trae Young, fearless. How about going on the road, Kevin, the sign of a champion? Going on the road after you played a subpar Game 7 yourself when your team rescued you to victory with the Atlanta Hawks. And Trae Young goes out and shoots 34 times and makes 17 of those. Also going to the line 10 of 12. An amazing performance for a young superstar. He's not supposed to do this yet, Kevin, and he's doing it.
Lobs off the glass, cracking legendary defenders, all while the game is on the line. Not in a blowout, in the most important moments of the game. A superstar by every single definition you could imagine from Trae Young. Sticking, though, with the conference finals, but over in the West, all signs, Donnie, point to Chris Paul returning for Phoenix in Game 3.
Absolutely, and we're checking out the FanDuel Sportsbook because the first thing we always like to check out is when a guy is announced in or out. As you saw Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers, he's out, but CP3 is in. Yesterday, that line did shift to a Clippers -1, but as we wake up this morning and check those lines, the Clippers now go back to +1.5, which means the Phoenix Suns are -1.5 in this game. Extra boost here for the Suns going on the road, getting their floor general back. The question is going to be, and we'll break it down later in the show, how effective will Chris Paul be away from the team for a week? Does he just step back and dominate? He's a veteran. He should be ready to go.
We'll be breaking that game down, of course, throughout today's show here. One more NBA headline for us. The Boston Celtics hire their new head coach, Brooklyn Nets assistant Ime Udoka, getting the job replacing Brad Stevens, hired by Brad Stevens.
No question about it. I think it's a great hire because you're coming from a pedigree position from a lot of good coaching staffs, coming from San Antonio, going through Philadelphia. So he's coached around a lot of stars in different systems, and obviously being with the Nets, now shifts over to Boston. I think it's a fantastic move for the Boston Celtics to get after it here. Young coach, 43 years old. You can grow with the team as well. It was time for a change with Brad Stevens, but now as you move forward, I think it's a good hire, Kevin. I really do.
I like it as well, but the sneaky secondary story here is Brooklyn really might not have the kind of offseason you want. Just a lot of mileage being put on their stars at Team USA, and all of their top three assistants who did a great job with Nash in year one could be head coaches in other places. Something to follow. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold here. We appreciate everybody listening to us on Sports Grid Radio and all of our radio affiliates here on a Thursday morning, keeping up with our 7-7 top headlines, and goodness me, the Islanders in overtime force a game seven against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
What an absolute party on the island last night. Looks like it was going to be, you know, maybe not come out with that outcome. 2-0, come back to tie it up at 2 and take the goal in the overtime to go 3-2 in that game. Fantastic stuff, Kevin. And we always say here on the show, it's two words we really like in sports. That's game seven. We're going to get one down in Tampa. We'll keep an eye on the Kucherov injury for the Lightning, which could be a key one left early in that game. But you got to close the door, Kevin. You're up 2-0 in the other team's barn. You got to get out of there with a victory and move on to the Stanley Cup Finals. We get a game seven where anything can happen. We'll see who the hero of the night might come from that game, Kevin, over the next few shows.
No doubt it'll be good to follow. How about the Astros winning their 10th consecutive game, best record in the American League, and the best run differential in all of baseball?
Stay out of the way here. Like, we're now at a point where we're going to be surprised if the Astros, Kevin, stay under 10 runs in a game. That 1-9 is absolutely humming. Yeah. You go to a hitter's ballpark in Baltimore where you get questionable starting pitching from the Orioles and also from the bullpen. They're taking advantage of it here and stretching that lead out. One of the teams to watch over the summer, for sure, those Houston Astros.
I cannot wait to tell people who their next seven games are up against. Also in Major League Baseball, the Padres sweep the Dodgers, Donnie.
I'm telling you, every single game profiled exactly the same. Hey, look, the Dodgers should win. They have the better lineup, maybe the better pitcher. It didn't happen all series long, but also a key, which I did not like to see last night and was a common theme throughout the series. The Padres scored early and often to take leads and rode those throughout the rest of the game. 2-0 in the first inning, buoyed by two solo home runs with two outs. Padres were the better team in the series, and Trevor Bauer said that exactly after the game.
And also, a tip of the cap to the odds makers, certainly pulling the trigger at the right time, making the Dodgers dogs two of the three times, and them losing both of those games as well as every game in this series. Last headline, by the way, France claimed the top spot in Group F, but France, Germany, and Portugal all move on to the knockout stage. Come on back, more early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are right back here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Game number one goes to the Atlanta Hawks. 116-113. Pull the upset as 8-point dogs. Game goes over the number. Broke it down yesterday at a 226. That number did fluctuate on the day, but it gets up there with 229 as the final tally. Donnie, it's all about Trae Young. There's no other way to slice it. There is just absolutely no other way to slice it. Clint Capella with 12-19. John Collins with 23-15. Everybody's favorite, Kevin Herter, chipped in with 13. That is all fine, good, and dandy. Trae Young is the star, not only of this game, arguably of this postseason.
No, he has to be. I mean, you're talking about going on the road, taking down the Big Apple. You're talking about going to Philadelphia, taking them down, winning three games on their court. A team in the Milwaukee Bucks hasn't lost at home yet in the playoffs. In game one, they get served again. And it just seems like that's the MO. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, they went into the Garden, stole game one in Philadelphia, now stole game one with the Milwaukee Bucks, which it's amazing stuff to watch as it boils down. Because you have a guy that doesn't have a conscience. And a great player who says, I didn't shoot so well last game. Let me rein it in this game. He didn't do that, Kevin. 34 shots in this game by Trae Young. A victory by the Atlanta Hawks. A comeback victory at that. On the road as well. I thought they were coached well all the way through. But you're right. It starts and ends with Trae Young. But also some of the guys that chipped in on the side. 23 points by John Collins. 11 of 16 from the field. How about Clint Capella doing his normal 6 of 9, catching a few alley-oops in this moment. Herter, as you said, chipped in with 13 points. But I do want to talk about this for a slight moment here, Kevin, about the Milwaukee Bucks and where they actually broke down. Because it's nice to have guys without a conscience. The one guy that really let down the Milwaukee Bucks wasn't Giannis. You know, wasn't P.J. Tucker, who chipped in with his normal 4 points. But how about Chris Middleton? 6 of 23 from the floor over 41 minutes, including an 0-for-9 from three-point range. That's where that game was won or lost. Usually on your home court, Middleton does get a lot of volume, which he did with 9 threes. Didn't make any of them, and that was a key component in the Bucks' loss.
No, it absolutely was. You know, the interesting thing, Donnie, at the end of each and every game, and this is true of all sports, right? But a lot of times you'll have people say, like, and I saw this last night. Oh, listen, come on. It's not hard to figure out here. Middleton was terrible, 6 of 23. Or, you know, oh, come on, look. Like, they shot 22% from three. That'll never happen again. Well, hold on a minute now. Because Chris Middleton has been inconsistent this whole postseason. During that 7-game set with Brooklyn, he had a game where he went out there 11 of 16, 38 points. Incredible. You know what he did in game one, though, against Brooklyn? 6 for 23 and 13 points, which is basically exactly what he did in game one against Atlanta. Like, Middleton does this. And the other thing, Donnie, that at some point people, me, have to make a change here on is the Milwaukee three-point shooting. They knocked it down at nearly a 40% clip during the regular season. As a team, for the whole postseason, Donnie, they're shooting just barely above 30% from beyond the arc. They just can't seem to find their stroke from downtown, and it is hurting them massively throughout these games.
Yeah, it sort of helped the Atlanta Hawks a little bit, Kevin, because you take a look at their percentage, 25% on the road from three-point range, still able to get it done. You want to know one of the crazier statistics that you're going to look at for this game is if you just take the starters out of the equation for the Milwaukee Bucks and you say, you know what, how did the bench do? Particularly their plus-minus on the bench, because usually your starters with the Bucks, they're going to build a lead. You try to hope to, you know, average it out or don't lose too much once the bench guys come in. Check this out. Portis was a 0. Teague was a +1. Connaughton was a +4. And Forbes was a +8. So you see a quake then say, now wait a second. Milwaukee's so talented in their starting five. You know they probably ran away with this ball game. They didn't. Brook Lopez -14. Chris Middleton -13. Holiday -3. They didn't perform up to their capabilities despite having a lead with about 2 minutes to go, is where you want to close the door on your home court. Atlanta said, no, we've been here before. We are battle-tested, and that's the sign of a fantastic coached team. Nate McMillan was wonderful. Every time they cut to the sidelines and went in on a timeout and showed him coaching, all positive, you know, let's keep the energy up, let's get out there and win some games. It was like they bought in right away and said, hey, coach, we got you. You know, you led us through New York. You led us through Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We're going to trust you in this moment here at the end of the game. And also, the late foul on Giannis, which was a terrible pass into the post he never should have got, being down three. They knew right away the minute he caught the ball, Kevin, foul him immediately. So not only he does make the two free throws, but there's no chance to tie the game because you didn't shoot a three-point shot. Great coaching down the stretch by Nate McMillan for me, Kevin.
No, absolutely. Nate McMillan's been great. And look, Budenholzer and the defensive coverages are not ideal, but one of the main things is just, hey, player stars. And to be honest, going out there, Giannis, Middleton, and Drew all cracking 40-plus minutes in the first game is what you want to see. For Giannis to play 41 and Middleton to play 41, and Giannis to be a +4 and Middleton to be a -13 really speaks to just how awful Chris Middleton was in this game. But again, on the Atlanta side of things, like, Atlanta is banged up. Bogdanovich is clearly not 100%. Like, his props to the under is going to be something we're going to have to start to look at. 1 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, and only 4 points. Cam Reddish was available, but didn't play. They lost DeAndre Hunter for the season before that Sixers series, and he was phenomenal when they played against the New York Knicks. This is a group of guys that are all elevating up a level, if not multiple levels, and they look like they very well could actually get this thing done. They are right now +164 to move past the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, though, Donnie, staying the series favorites. They have now dropped, though, to +155 to win the title, with Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns becoming your new NBA champion favorites.
Yeah, I still think there's a little bit of value here on the Bucks. I'm not going to turn the page on them just yet, but we also had a hot or not subject yesterday, Kevin, where we talked about does the Atlanta Hawks have to win one game one or game two in order to be in the series? And of course we said yes, because you can't go down 0-2 and then expect to get a sweep on your home court. Winning game one was big. They can really ratchet up the pressure. You're going to see a lot of energy from the Milwaukee Bucks to try to defend their home court in game two, and we'll see if that certainly holds up. But taking a look quickly here as a peek on the FanDuel Sportsbook to game two, Milwaukee Bucks, same thing, -7.5 as a favorite, 226.5. So we're expecting that same performance out of the Bucks, maybe to just carry over. Yeah. But the MO of the Atlanta Hawks, very hard, Kevin, to blow them out. And even if you get a lead on them, they don't get nervous and certainly coming back. My last point to make on this game as well, which is just fascinating. If you line up, and I did this in the Sixers series as well, player by player, the Sixers were clearly the better team overall. You line up player for player, and you brought up Bogdanovich, who during the regular season, that is their flamethrower from three. That's Trae Young driving and kicking out to a wide-open guy, and he makes it every time. He's barely functioning, Kevin. So you're winning games with Collins, Capella, Herder, you know, Hill, Williams. It's amazing what they're able to do and still win these games against teams much more talented than them. That's a sign of a pretty good coach basketball team. I'll keep on hitting that point.
They fired their head coach during this season. Like, Nate McMillan is right now coaching them in the conference finals with a game 1-0 lead on an interim tag. It is unbelievable. Quickly, just to bring up again, in the coaching world in the NBA, Ime Udoka getting the job with the Boston Celtics. This is going to be such an interesting situation to watch play out, because rarely, if ever, can I remember a situation, Donnie, where a head coach is hired by the team's former head coach. Boston, I don't want to say they're walking a tightrope where, you know, like, but they're walking a fine line, I will say. It feels like this offseason, already moving Kemba, a lot of changes with the personnel. They're a team to watch this offseason.
They are a team to watch it, but you also, from, you know, some of the bigger players on the team, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, all like this move. I think it was when, you know, Brad Stevens gets a little bit burnt out. You're looking towards that next energy coach that the players are going to like. I think it was a great move right away, because you also have it from both sides. Brad Stevens didn't play in the NBA. Now you have a guy that played in the NBA and also coached in the NBA. I think it's a great move for the Celtics. We'll see how it pans out next year in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to be really fun to follow this NBA offseason there. A big credit to Udoka for getting that chance, even if he didn't break all the barriers that Jay Williams thought he did. We'll come on back and talk some Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are right back here on the early line. Time to break down some of the happenings in the world of Major League Baseball yesterday. And we got to start with the Houston Astros going out there, winning their 10th straight game. I had a couple pregame plays on yesterday's board. Didn't go great. The one that worked out was the over in the Astros-Orioles game. If you would have told me that Baltimore didn't score a single run, I wouldn't have been happy. I would have thought I still had a chance to cash over 9.5, and I did, because Houston went out there and won 13-0. They have the best run differential in baseball. Nobody likes this team outside of the people of Houston. But, Donnie, you said it a while ago, and it's only becoming looking like it is more and more and more the case that they just might be baseball's best team.
Yeah, they're getting it from all angles here, and you're buoyed by your own lineup that you have. You know, 1-9 has been sensational. They're getting good starting pitch and good bullpen work, but the thing I think that brings up, which makes me chuckle a little bit, is this isn't supposed to happen here. It's supposed to be, do you remember when the Astros were cheating? Now they can't cheat anymore. They're not a good baseball team. They're going to go on the road. They're going to hear it from the fans. They're going to be the team that has one run on three hits for a game because they can't cheat on the road, or it's just not working out. They're going on a barnstorming tour. Like, you know what? Not only are we going to win, we're going to embarrass your home team and beat them 13-0. So when Jose Altuve gets up to the plate, cheater, cheater, boop, two-run shot into the seats. Take that here. They are rolling right now, and I don't see any stop in the near future because this offense is hot. Sometimes you just ride these streaks out. but they are a really good baseball team and one to watch, as I keep saying, over the summer here.
They are 14-2 in their last 16. Man. Yesterday, though, because I looked at their schedule, I actually hit the Google machine to figure out the longest winning streak in baseball history. Donnie, the next series for Houston is four of them in Detroit, and then after that, they'll host Baltimore for three. Listen, it's baseball. Teams drop games all the time. They are staring down the barrel of very possibly being winners of 17 in a row, at which point we'll take a look and see how far we go. The longest winning streak ever is 26 games in a row. I get it. They're only at 10. Maybe they'll lose to Detroit their next game. But, boy, oh, boy, they're going to be massive favorites in all of their next seven.
No, exactly. And they're piling on early as well. They're getting everything now. You know, the middle of the lineup's adding the power. The first part of the lineup is getting on base. Even the guys in the position 7, 8, 9 all doing some damage. These are the fun runs that you have, whether or not you're betting and just riding out the Houston Astros at this point, making them a parlay piece, or just taking their team totals, or even that we've done a few times here, taking some hits props. The hits keep coming. Yeah. And if you're a hits prop guy, Kevin, and you say, hey, you know what, before the game starts, I'm going to let you know a little thing. Astros are going to score 13 times on 17 hits. Sign me up for those type of parlays. They're running hot, and yes, you are correct. The schedule is very favorable coming up.
If they get as far, they'd play the Yankees for a chance to beat the winning streak. Oh, I wouldn't handle that well at all. I'll tell you that right now. Also yesterday, the Padres complete the sweep of the Dodgers. Move themselves now to a half game back for second place in the NL West. It is the Padres' seventh consecutive win. Donnie, you know, it felt like Groundhog Day, the way you've described this series, right? Each and every day, man, looks like a little value there on the Dodgers. At the minimum, they should be able to hit. They never really hit in this series. They, you know, were in the mix a little bit during these games, but the Padres really just looked like the better team.
They certainly did, and you know me, Kevin, from a betting perspective angle. I like overs in games, and I particularly like team total overs in games. Thank goodness I'm not a side better, because I'm here giving advice on this three-game series, saying each and every night, yeah, it looks good here. Why don't we take the Dodgers? You know what? Game two looks exactly the same as game one. Like the Dodgers again. Hey, game three looks exactly like games one and two. Let me go ahead and step on the banana peel once again and lose with the Dodgers. Great effort from the Padres. The same theme, Kevin, in this series, which usually works well in all sports. When you're at home, get the lead and turn up the gas. They did it each and every night here. Nice win by the Padres, stepping back into the NL West race, because now it's a three-team race when it looks like it might only be a two-team race, the Giants and the Dodgers. Great series. Trevor Bauer after the game stating, hey, we didn't match their intensity. They took it to us, and rightfully so. They were the better team in this three-game series. We'll see how the Padres, not the Dodgers, the Padres respond here, which going up against your rival, you got to carry that momentum forward. It'll be a fun summer here to watch these three teams. It's what we expected. We just didn't expect the Giants to be included in this as well.
You know, it's going to be really interesting for me, at least, the Dodgers' next couple games, though, because it's four at home versus Chicago, a double up at home versus the Giants, and then four at a very hot Washington team. And I'm just trying to see, Donnie, when it will feel like a substantial move is being made on the Dodgers' odds, whether that is to win the National League or to win the NL West, because I still don't feel like we've seen that here. And I'll tell you, man, if they do go out there and they don't win the NL West, all of a sudden then a team that is plus 175 to win the pennant is going to be playing a single game elimination, and it very well could be against this same Padres team.
You're right, and you're taking a look at just at the West odds here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Dodgers minus 220, the Padres plus 290, the Giants plus 500. It wasn't too long ago, Kevin, where we were talking about the Giants 30-1, 25-1, 20-1, 18-1, while they still had the lead. So that team is for real. That is a three-horse race now, but the money is still going to come in on the Dodgers, Kevin. Why? They have the big pockets. They have the prospects. They still have the starting pitching. Their injuries seemingly in the rearview mirror from what we're looking at. You figure over the next 3 months in the summer, they are going to extend their lead, or at least take the lead in the NL West. That's why the money probably still coming in on the Dodgers as a heavy favorite to win the NL West in 2021.
want to go over to the AL East, where we'll start with the Yankees versus the Royals. Donnie, as a Yanks fan, it was a game in which it felt like it would be their worst loss of the season. Not as that's happened a couple of times. It's still early. But to go out there and sweep the Blue Jays, take 2 out of 3 against a very, very good Oakland team, and lose in the fashion that they were prepared to lose against KC for the first two at home, it felt like it was going to be incredibly demoralizing. It quickly turned into maybe their best win of the season. They remain 4 back in the loss column of the division lead, 3 back of Tampa Bay for second place in the AL East. But it felt like one of those wins that we might just remember if the Yankees can really officially turn the corner here now and put up results consistently.
Yeah, we're waiting on it here, and it didn't look like those results were going to come yesterday. As you saw the top of the 8th inning, a run by Kansas City. You got those good vibes back with 2 by the Yankees in the bottom of the inning. Then you head to the 9th. You have your hammer on the mound. Aroldis Chapman blows another save, giving up 2 runs. But the sign of a good baseball club is, oh my goodness, our ace on the mound gave up those 2 runs. Now we're not going to win. We're going to lose 2 straight to the Royals. No, you did. Bottom of the 9th, you came up big with a couple clutch hits, and sometimes that's all that matters. It's interesting to see some of the frustrations here coming out from Chapman. But I have to say, you can't say at this moment, well, it's just doctoring baseballs. Maybe he was using spider tack at this point, because the season he was having was one for the record books, it seemed like. You're going to have ebbs and flows from closers just because of the way they are built. They are all energy for one inning. A lot of the times it goes well, but you can see it go off the rails. Surprising that the Kansas City Royals were able to get to him, but hey, he's 5-2. Actually, Aroldis Chapman picked up the win, so he has to feel good about something in that one, but a nice win by the Yankees, showing their mettle in the bottom of the 9th inning to put a 6-5 victory over those Kansas City Royals.
All right, just quickly there, that, by the way, last night is maybe the easiest piece of evidence of all time that pitchers' wins is the most useless stat potentially in sports. Like, Chapman was nearly the entire reason they lost, never came back out, and was granted a win. That's, though, what it is. Also in the AL East, Tampa Bay bouncing back, breaking their 7-game slide, taking the Boston Red Sox down by a final score of 8-2. Donnie, what do you think about this game?
Oh, I thought a lot of good vibes about this game early on that then turned to, oh, come on, are you kidding me? You're not going to get over 8.5 runs from me? Late in the game, 3-run home run, boost that over the total. But this is a game that I squared up early, figuring 2 pitchers here now that we're checking on the mound for foreign substances to doctor the baseball. I thought they could leak a little bit of oil. Richards was terrible in this game, as anticipated, but Rich Hill still gave a very good performance this one, giving up only 1 run, handing it over to the bullpen. 8-2 final. The Rays sooner or later had to break that streak, but now we're seeing the bats come out down in Tampa at Tropicana Field. Amazing stuff. Let's see how this continues throughout the summer, and maybe instead of saying, hey, you know, Rays 3-2 victory, Rays 4-1 victory, they can start hitting some of their team totals, because the bats are starting to come alive at the right moment, getting boosted by a nice youth movement here also coming up from their minor league system. We'll see if the Rays can hang around. But as I say that, Kevin, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, something that we anticipated, no longer the favorite to win the AL East. The Tampa Bay Rays at a plus 170. You know who's in first place? The Boston Red Sox at plus 160. We asked that question just a few weeks ago. Would you take the Rays once Glasnow went down with an injury for the rest of the summer? We said no. Maybe a combination of the Yankees and Red Sox. Already, the Red Sox now showing first place numbers.
Here is, I think, the best way to put in perspective how interesting this AL East race will be to follow. 6 divisions in baseball, 5 divisions offering a minus money favorite, 4 of those 5 at minus 200 or greater. And then there's the American League East, with Boston at plus 160 and Tampa at plus 170, the Yanks then checking in at plus 320. You can tell that this AL East will be a battle wire to wire here as these teams trade results. And I will just piggyback on Donnie's point about Tampa Bay. This is going to be something to follow. Wander Franco has been called up. Their team total is 2-0 to the over. Is it entirely Franco being there? No, but he certainly does help. We're going to take a break here on the early line. When we come on back, it'll be time for Hot or Not.
We'll be right back. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Time now to get into Hot or Not. We will start over in the NBA, where we're going to pose an important question, because this has been true forever in the NBA. If you have the best player in a series, you can win that series. So, Donnie, hot or not, Trae Young is the best player in the Bucks-Hawks series.
I'm going to go hot. And I'm going to preface it by saying this. We've only saw one game so far. He was phenomenal. You can't knock Giannis's performance. He does what he does. He's going to drop around 30 points and dominate a basketball game. But I like to look at it this way, Kevin, to try to equate on why I think he is the best player. If Trae Young goes down with an ankle injury and misses the rest of the series, I don't know if Atlanta stays within 15 to 20 points of the Milwaukee Bucks on a night-to-night basis. If Giannis goes down for the Milwaukee Bucks, I still think they have enough firepower to keep the series competitive, maybe even win the series, as crazy as that sounds. So if I'm looking at just off the top, and again, based on what I saw last night with my own eyes on a road victory in game one for the Atlanta Hawks, to me, he is the most important player in this series, so why not crown him as, already after game one, the best player in this series? Now, it could all change, Kevin. Game two, he goes 5 for 26. Giannis scores 40, 15, and 10. Ha-ha, Donnie, how could you actually say that? But after what I saw last night, you're talking about MVPs. Trae Young is an amazing athlete and doing stuff that I haven't seen from a small guard since Allen Iverson. Tremendous effort. Right now, Kevin, hot. Best player in the series, Trae Young.
Let me ask you this, Donnie, before I get to my answer. There's a lot of people that would say Kevin Durant, best player in the world. Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
Was his 49, 17, and 10 the best performance that we've seen this postseason?
Kevin Durant still has it. I was absolutely right. Amazed by that performance that he put up, because it was basically him and nobody else on the court, nobody giving him help, and he said, I'm going to take this game over and make sure we win. I do agree that was the best performance.
I agree as well. And I think that was the performance that a lot of people said, okay, KD is the best player in the world. Again, 49, 17, and 10. And Trae Young goes out there and goes for 48, 7, and 11. Same exact defense. His on the road. Again, I'm not trying to tell you that Trae Young is better than Kevin Durant. Yep. That's crazy. I'm not doing that. And I'm not telling you that Trae Young's performance was better than Durant's. That's meaningless. But it was right up against it. This is hot. Right now, Trae Young is the best player left in the playoffs. That's just what we're watching right now. When it's all said and done, maybe Giannis circles the block and ends up taking all of the awards and titles that people have projected for Giannis. But not right now. Trae Young, again, if you're an advanced statistics guy, beating Giannis out in value over replacement, win shares, box score plus minus, they're all Trae Young. And those catch-all stats, by the way, incorporate defense, where Giannis has been the best defensive player in the postseason. Everything is funneled through Trae Young. As Donnie said, they live and die by Trae. I think right now he is the best player in this series, which absolutely means Atlanta can go out there and win this series. Let's keep it here in the NBA, though, for hot or not. And I want to clarify, this comes from the desk of Donnie Wrightside, though it will seem like it was handwritten by me, because I've asked this question to Donnie potentially every single show that we have done. But Donnie, hot or not, there is value on the Clippers at plus 540 to beat the Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
There absolutely is, Kevin. I'm going hot on this. So, you know, hold on over there. Stay in your seat. Seatbelt in. Like, I can't believe he's saying this. Here's the reason why. Am I telling you to bet on the Clippers? Absolutely not. But as we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here early in the morning, as we do know lines change overnight, specifically with getting news that Chris Paul is now in, they've jumped to a plus 610 in this series. Do I think they're going to win the series? I actually don't. But we're talking from a value betting perspective on when you want to get the best realistic number. If you're betting it before the game starts here, let's just say it stays at the plus 610 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, this is when you want to attack that number, because if they win game three, then that number is drastically going to come lower. But if they lose the game, you say, hey, Donnie, the number's going to go high. Yeah, let's just say it goes to plus 1,100. They're down 3-0 in the series. They're not winning four games in a row to win it. So the value of betting the Clippers comes before game three, when you think they can win the game, and if they do, they're back into the series, not betting the plus 1,000 or 1,100 when they're down 3-0 in the series. So I'm going to go with a hot value right now on the Clippers. Will never be higher in this series, Kevin, than right now tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, it's hot. I mean, you know that I always think there's been value on this Clippers team at each and every turn. But Donnie makes a very important point. You bet the Clippers at plus 610, and they lose. You're not going to be, oh, could have got them at 10-1. They're done.
Correct.
They're down 3-0. It's never happened before, and I promise you Paul George won't be the first guy to come back from down 3-0. If that somehow is a clip that gets played for eternity, that I said Paul George won't come back down from 3-0, that'll be something. So who cares if it goes in what direction if they lose the game? But if they win, plus 610, probably cut in half. If they take both games in Los Angeles, Donnie, probably drops sub 200, right?
Yeah, absolutely correct. And this, again, it's from a betting perspective, because you say, well, why is Donnie saying there's value when he doesn't think they're going to win the series? The value is inside the number. And if you're taking a number that makes sense, it's before game three even begins. Because once game three is over, they win, that number drops lower. If they lose, that number goes really high and you get a lottery ticket, it's fantastic, but you're probably not going to cash that ticket in realistically. The value is before the game starts tonight. That's the point that we're trying to make here. So if you do like the Clippers, take them today before the game starts.
Yeah, and you can split the unit with a money line wager on tonight's game, and we'll break down tonight's game in great detail. And again, you can, with a number like plus 610, I know there's some folks that don't believe in hedging, but you can do a lot of damage with a number like that as the series starts to shrink down. All right, keeping it here in hot or not, the Nationals starting to play much better baseball. The results coming no matter what tricks Joe Girardi tries to go out there and provide. And in fact, they've now jumped up to second place in the NL East on their four-game winning streak. Donnie, the Nationals can win the NL East after their two-game sweep over the Phillies, a number that is at 13-1.
They absolutely can, because they have the frontline pitching when healthy that can boost you. It's always a team that I watch out for when, if they can get into the playoffs, you have a big three in the rotation that you can lean on, and that's what the playoffs are built on. So as we move forward into the summer, it's wild. You're right. They're sitting there in second place in the NL East, but if you look at the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Mets, minus 330, the Braves, plus 650, the Philadelphia Phillies, plus 750, the Nationals at 13-1. I must be missing something here. Did you just not watch that series? Sure, the Philadelphia Phillies are a great team to bet on if you're looking for totals. Now, the bullpen is back to being a hot mess. They're hot at the plate. They can't close anything down. A game where they had a 5-run lead, a 4-run lead, and a 1-run lead were not able to hold on. Red hot Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff position. Who would have thought here? They are really getting after it. 13-1 seems like a great price here, because if the Mets stay healthy, stay on pace, they'll probably win it. But if you're looking from a value perspective right now, would I rather spend minus 330 on the Mets or plus 1,300 on the Nationals? Give me the Nationals all summer long, Kevin. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I think it's a not in that I'm not picking the Nats right now to win this division. I would still pick the Mets. Everything that the Mets have done this season has been wildly impressive, from basically Jacob DeGrom breaking baseball to the fact that they are maybe the most banged up team in baseball and sit, you know, 7 games above 500. But if we're just going to play the value game in the way that we just did with the Clippers, Yeah, the Nationals should not be nearly double the number of the Phillies and actually double the number of the Atlanta Braves. That absolutely should be coming down, and it probably will soon. Like, if the Nationals go out there and put just a couple of more results on the board, they're going to head to Miami for a series. That number will start to shift absolutely here. How about we go to the world of golf? For Hot or Not, the Travelers Championship getting underway this morning. Sadly, no odds boost offered to us on a Bryson DJ or a Bryson Brooks combo, which is upsetting. But that kind of allows us to shift focus here, maybe deeper down the board. Donnie, Hot or Not, the Travelers Championship winner will be a player starting the tournament at 20-1 or longer odds.
I'm going to go Not on this one, and particularly I like pedigree players on a course that can be had, particularly a short course. We saw some videos here during the week right on the show of how this course should play out. It's going to favor long hitters who can hit their driver off the tee and just play wedge into the green. You square up right there with Bryson DeChambeau and also Dustin Johnson, the two favorites at 11-1 and 12-1. And then you also have some of the world's best there in Brooks Koepka hovering around 18-1. Out in that 20-1 or higher range on the FanDuel Sportsbook, we're looking at Patrick Reed, Brian Harman, Joaquin Niemann, Abraham Ancer. Sure, there are some really good players in a deep field, but I'm going to take one of the top horses here to win this. So if I'm looking for 20-1 or better, that's an absolute Not for me. Give me some of the leaders here. Give me the long guys off the tee. And I told you yesterday, my guy for this tournament, DJ, long off the tee, good irons, good putting. He gets back in form. He's going to win this tournament this week, Kevin. Looking at this, any long shots for you coming away with the Travelers this week?
Because I am angry that I basically didn't get an odds boost on the elite players, I'm going Hot. I'm going Hot. Here's the other reason, though, and I'll say this. Yesterday, we listened into what Rick Gaiman had to say about this course, and it's absolutely one that if you get a guy like a Bryson, like a DJ, who are dialed in, they can go out there, set course records, and beat the rest of this field by 5-6 strokes. A dominant performance could be in the bag. But also, the par 70, he said, really can open it up to kind of everybody here. A hot putter can get you this tournament. Who necessarily is that guy? A couple of people in the range. Look, Tony Finau, even though he can never close, always is in the mix. Matthew Wilf had a very strong showing at the U.S. Open. I would be interested to see what kind of performance he could put on. Everybody's favorite villain, Patrick Reed, who is the first golfer being offered at 20-1 or longer, is another name that I would be interested in here as well. I am now anti-top of the leaderboard because I didn't get an odds boost. Give me a long shot here at the Travelers Championship. All right, one more on Hot or Not. Coming from the NFL, who is set to unveil a new bid system to host the player combine. Donnie, Hot or Not, the combine should just stay in Indianapolis.
I know they can't see this on radio, but I'm just shaking my head right now. I know the NFL is always for sale, and it's all about making money, but are we led to believe that teams are making bids to get the actual combine in their hometown? Like, I'm just outside the city of Philadelphia. If the combine is in Philadelphia, am I standing up and cheering like I have to somehow get over the bridge and try to look through the weeds and the tall bushes to get a glimpse of a guy running a 40? I don't understand. Like, it's in Indy. We're used to it being in Indy. I know I'm just old and putting on my haters hat right now on this, Kevin. Just keep it in Indy. Why do we have to go around and wonder where this is at, or even if it makes any sense, Kevin? An absolute Not. Leave me alone, NFL, with this one.
You know, it's interesting because I saw this. I was like, oh, that's good. Give everybody a shot. And then I thought about it. Nobody goes to this anyway other than, like, the coaches and the scouts. Like, who cares? Like, they're all set up. They're used to their same Indianapolis hotels, their Indianapolis restaurants here. Who cares if Philadelphia or New York or Los Angeles? And that's what's going to happen, too. They're going to start putting in all the warm weather cities, and Indianapolis will never get this thing back. Leave it in Indy. Donnie's right. That's Not. Leave that, or it's a Hot. Leave it in Indianapolis there with the combine. Come on back, hero of the night.
Sports gaming in
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the early line, and it is that time once again to give out our hero of the night. Now, I will openly admit, this is another hero of the night, but I am a little upset to have to give out, just because it snuck up on me. I didn't realize that this odds boost was posted. I don't know why it was posted middle of the day, but it was still a really, really nice winner as one of the all-time greats, Cristiano Ronaldo, takes home Hero of the Night honors, getting Portugal the draw against France with a couple of goals. It ties the all-time men's national goal-scoring record, and also Donnie cashed a FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost on CR7 to score one or more goals at plus 250.
Cristiano Ronaldo, a tale as old as time, Kevin. If there's a soccer match being played and he's in it, he scores goals. He has the money, he has the looks, he has the skills. The hero of the night absolutely almost carried his team to a victory over France. Would have been extremely, extremely fun to watch. But this guy that gets it done each and every time he gets out on the pitch, it's amazing to watch. We're also going to have a topic coming up in just a little bit outside of Hero of the Night to see if he's going to take down the most goals scored in Euro 2020. Every game, Kevin, you know you have to stop him, and you cannot stop Cristiano Ronaldo. Cashing in tickets left and right on goal scores, that's the way it goes down. What an impressive athlete moving on now to the knockout stage. Hero of the night, he must be the hero of the night every time he takes the pitch, Kevin.
It is now set, though, over there at Euro 2020. The group stage has completed. We are on to the knockout round. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to dive a little bit into the futures markets, those early matchups. It'll, of course, be a big part of our coverage for Weekend Watch. But also, not the last time you'll hear about Ronaldo here on the show, as we will talk about him in Take It or Leave It. But right now, we're going to take a break and come on back with our number two of the early line.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.